CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to the Toast and Happy Thursday, a long-awaited Thursday, some might say. Hello, Jacqueline. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yes, it is Thursday. If you listened to yesterday's episode, we were hopeful that it would be Thursday, and today it is.
And if you didn't listen to yesterday's episode, are you okay?
Well, maybe they're just so busy in love, you know, things in a whirlwind.
That's nice. That's the only acceptable reason to miss the toast.
Is if you're in love?
Yes, if you're in love.
Yeah, I agree. Or, what are other acceptable reasons?
Death. Like, you died.
Oh, you died, yeah.
Or, but you better be listening, you know, from the afterlife.
If there was a death, like, you know, in your world, you should still listen because we're here to lift you up.
That's true. I honestly, as, you know, anyone who's dealt with grief knows that one of the best ways to just kind of take yourself out of it momentarily is to distract yourself. And what is more distracting than two insanely gorgeous girls being hysterical?
Nothing. Yeah. Laughter is the best medicine.
It really is. So.
So I'm a doctor.
Consider me a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess another excuse would be like if you like are in the hospital or something. But again, you can bring your phone to the hospital.
Yeah. We're like, there's a lot of waiting time. We're here for you.
Yeah, I guess like the really truly only excuse is like if you're just out living life so hard. That's what we want for our girlies. Like we want you to go thrive. So if you're just having too much fun or you're too in love or you're on like a fabulous trip, only acceptable reason to not listen to the toast.
Yeah, and it's temporary, you know?
Of course.
So if you're back and you missed yesterday's episode, we missed you. We have a lot of not a lot of stories, but some of the stories, like we will be discussing themes from the week.
So you're saying it's going to be a rather thematic episode?
Yeah, I mean, I think actually this isn't a joke. Every episode we do is very thematic. Like, there's a thread that is woven through each episode unintentionally. Where like at the start of the episode we're talking about something, and by the end of the episode we bring it back to that theme.
I believe that's what like a moral of the story is. There's like a moral of every episode.
Yeah, but there's also just a common thread. Common thread.
Would you say an invisible string?
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. Is that like our theme song?
Maybe for today.
Maybe for today.
We'll see. We'll see. Let the chips and the words fall where they may.
One of my favorite things to do is definitely just like let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. And that's Streis loves when I let the chips fall where they may because he gets to lick up all the crumbs.
I asked you like how you were doing. Now I want you to ask me how I'm doing.
Claudia, how are you doing?
Horrible.
I know why. Horrible. What's going on?
Over the last 2 days, I've been reading The Nightingale, which is a historical fiction book about World War II. And yesterday I read like the final 40%, which is like where it all goes down. And when I tell you I was so, there's not even a word, like bereft. So sad when the book ended. Not because the book was over. That happens to me sometimes where I just loved the book and I wanted it to keep going. Because the contents of the book made me so unbelievably sad that I was inconsolable. Like, the book was done, and I was just laying in bed crying, and Ben was like, are you okay? And I was afraid to go to sleep because I, like, couldn't stop thinking about the book. The book is about, like, Nazis, and it was just like, I know I'm, like, the last person on the planet to read this book, so me recommending it is, like, futile, but please, like, read this book. It
will change your life. It's not as futile as people who recommend Verity and The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
It's so true. I love seeing that. Like, people, like, by the way, and that was literally me. I'm like, you guys have to read this book. They're like, girl, we read this book 5 fucking years ago.
Yeah, everybody has read the book. If you read books, you've read these books.
So funny. So in my book club, my friend Abe, who, like, I got really into reading, and we were, like, you know, the two kind of founding members of the book club, the book that, like, changed his life, like, for me, it was Luckiest Girl Alive. For him, it was Verity. And he's, like, still always talking about Verity. I'm like, Abe, like, get with the program. Nobody, like, talks about Verity anymore.
No, and it's, like, the more you read, the more you're, like, embarrassed to talk about Verity.
No, not embarrassed. Not at all. I feel like the more you read, if I now sat down and read some of my favorite books, they probably wouldn't be my favorite books.
Oh, that's true, too. They might not hold up, but, like, anything impresses you when you haven't read, like, a good book in so long, and now you see there are so many good books and even better books. But, no, like, now, having read so many books, like, I'm not talking about Verity because it's just, like, so obvious.
100%.
And The Nightingale is a book that a lot of people recommend if you're in the historical fiction world, which not everyone is, but I think why The Nightingale is so great is because you don't have to be obsessed with historical fiction like me to enjoy it and consume it, and I think everyone should read it. I agree with you.
Let me tell you why The Nightingale is so good, and I'm, like, going to expose myself hard here. Like, of course I know about World War II. For the most part, like, I know about the war from my own experience, which is the experience of the Jews. So, like, whenever I think about World War II or the Holocaust, like, I'm, of course, thinking about the 6 million Jews, the camps, the gas chambers, like, all of that. So there's, like, a lot of, like, elements about the actual war part, like, the Allies and everything that I can't lie, I don't know, like, a shit ton about. Like, not knowing up until I read this book that France just, like, surrendered, like, the day the war started and let the Nazis take over all of France and all these people, innocent people, just, like, living in Nazi occupation. Mm-hmm. Not me not knowing that. So then it's, like, it added another element to me. Like, of course I know the atrocities of the Nazis, but, like, I didn't know what they did to non-Jews, just, like, living in their towns.
Like, the day-to-day life of war.
Right, and, like, starving all these people for years. Like, they were all malnourished. They were all, like, literally skin and bones by the end of the war. So many people died after the war from just causes of the war.
Yeah.
So I learned so much about the actual, like, landscape of the war. Like, when I read The Rose Code, I learned about the British part. Yeah. I didn't know about that either. This book was very much, like, the French experience.
And they're so different, actually. It's actually good that you read both of them. Because the French, like, they said they had their front line of defense, which fell in, like, a matter of days. And then they were like, here, take half the country and set up your own government.
No, not the French being hella losery. I did not know that.
Yeah, hella losery. And the British fought tooth and nail to keep the Nazis off their shores.
No, and, like, recruited everyone, women, men, children, to contribute.
And you saw Dunkirk, didn't you?
Okay, so I saw Dunkirk, like, not me literally not knowing what Normandy was. Like, I kind of feel stupid.
You're putting the pieces together. Every book or movie is, like, a piece of the puzzle.
D-Day, like, Normandy, like, if you would have asked me a year ago, or even, like, yeah, if you would have asked me, like, a month ago, I'd be like, Normandy's definitely giving World War I.
Yeah, you think a lot of things are World War I.
Yeah, so when I finish a book, I call Jackie, and I'm, like, telling her, like, kind of sharing this embarrassing thing that, like, I low-key know very little about history. And she's like, just wait till you hear about Japan. And I'm like, oh, World War I, like, Pearl Harbor, Hiroshima, all of that. She's like, that's World War II. Not me not knowing that.
Right.
So, like, what the hell happened in World War I?
World War I was kind of, it was the Germans versus the rest of, like, Europe. Again, the same players, and then the U.S. comes in. But
so it's kind of like the pregame to World War II.
Yeah, yeah. And then I guess, like, those beefs were never squashed. And, like, the reparations that Germany had to, like, pay for what they did in World War I, which was so horrible. People think that, like, that caused them to be even angrier and go even harder for World War II. And also, like, left it open for someone like Hitler to come in and be like, we deserve better as Germans.
The way, like, I know this is not a hot take, I fucking hate Nazis. This book just like reignited. I feel like we talk about the Holocaust like a lot on the podcast, and I talk about it as just like a Jewish woman in my everyday life. I do. And when I feel like when we talk about it now, we talk about it like in a very historical way. Like we feel very far removed from it. But this book was just like such a stark reminder, like that this shit actually happened. It's not just like in a textbook. And I feel like she did such an amazing job. And I actually asked you if she was Jewish because I felt like she actually really understood the Jewish vibe, if you know what I mean. Like she didn't sound like she was cosplaying Jewish characters. Like it but felt authentic.
But her two main characters are not Jewish women.
No, but the parts about the Jews, like her neighbor, and then just like what was happening to the Jews and why they had to, you know, send the boy back, whatever. I just felt like I didn't feel like I was being, it didn't feel like LARPing, you know?
Yes.
Or appropriation, I guess the word would be. But I just thought she was so, she's such a talented, like the way I felt after reading this book, Jackie, I sent her a message on Instagram, like a fucking freak. I was like, I know I'm the last person on the planet to read this book, but I just read it. Like, thank you for writing it. You're incredible. Like, I love you. She didn't answer or open it, but I just felt like, you know, she needed to hear it. This book was just a feat. It was magnificent. Like, I can't say enough about this book. And my friend who recommended it for my book club, Natalie, she was like, the first like 70 pages are like confusing and they're just like setting the scene. So don't give up. I'm like, okay, because I was like, at first, this book stinks.
Yeah, she's just like having a baguette in the field, like saying bye to her husband.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, let's get to it. Let's get to it. And it took me in a direction I did not even, I can't say enough words about this book. And I'm like being one of those people, the book like was popular 5 years ago. I love this book. Everybody needs to read it. It was the most amazing book. I could not stop crying. And then you delivered the most amazing news to me that there's actually a movie being made out of it. The story, the book is about two sisters. And you actually told me even more fun fact that the two sisters have been cast. And they're cast by actresses who are sisters.
Who are, if you guys want to know, that Dakota and Elle Fanning are supposed to play the sisters. But Claudia and I did some research into it, and the movie's still in pre-production. They're the only ones who have been cast. I don't think anything has happened to move the needle on the movie. And especially now with the strike and everything, I don't know if we're ever getting this movie. It was supposed to come out December 2022.
Right, which is like 9 months ago.
Right, and that didn't happen. I would love if it did. I think it would be great, and I think the Fanning sisters would be great.
No, like they're legit actresses. You know, they would make the movie feel like a real movie.
Yes, they really would.
This episode of The Toast is brought to you by Poise Ultra Thins. Becoming a mom has come with a lot of big changes, and I'm getting ready to experience some of that all over again. Some of the joys and wonders of postpartum life that no one tells you about, that, you know, a lot of us have to learn the hard way. But something super common that we don't always talk about when it comes to postpartum life is bladder leaks. 1 in 2 women over 20 experience bladder leaks, and most young moms try to use period pads to solve the problem. You know, you think that makes sense, but actually, period pads are not designed for pee. Thankfully, Poise Ultra Thins are specifically designed for bladder leaks and keep you 10 times drier than the leading period pad. So for my mamas out there, for my new mamas, this one is a pro tip for you because you gotta have the right goods when you need them. The clean, dry, and fresh protection these pads provide is a lifesaver, and they're shaped to fit and flex with your body so you can stay comfortable and live without compromise. Poise Ultra Thins offer with and without wings so you can live worry-free and, you know, free of worries of bladder leaks, not having the right pads, not having what you need when you need it. Personally, I have enough on my plate as a mom, so I love the idea of taking one worry off of the list. It takes Poise. Learn more about Poise Ultra Thins and how they're specifically designed for bladder leaks at poise.com.
Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by Land's End. Anyone can slap a logo on a boring generic shirt, but with Land's End Business, you can get made-to-order uniforms that become a part of your brand. Get fully customized clothes, accessories, and promotional products featuring your logo and colors, all made by the expert team at Land's End. And with the best in-class customer care, let Land's End handle the inventory while you just run your business. You guys know uniforms, merch really can be an extension of your brand, and Land's End is a great resource for your business. They have quality, comfort, and style that you can count on. Since 1993, thousands of businesses have relied on Land's End Business to outfit their employees. They offer timeless style that fits every body type with the widest range of sizes in branded apparel. You can see your logo in vivid colors on t-shirts, outerwear, hats, mugs, water bottles, and more. Hundreds of products perfect for any trade show, event, or holiday gift. Lands' End Business is the leading online supplier of iconic uniforms for everyone. Whether you're a carpet cleaner, mechanic, moving company, or a corner pizza shop, they have your uniform needs covered. It's so much more than the same old work polos. You can get customized uniforms that fit the way you work and keep your employees cool, dry, and comfortable. You can get email, chat, and phone support from their customer service team who are eager to help. Every business is treated like a VIP, whether you have 5 employees or 50. So see why thousands of companies count on Lands' End Business. Go to business.landsend.com/toast and use promo code toast for 20% off your order. That's business.landsend.com/toast, promo code toast for 20% off your order. So that was just like ruined my night. Like I was inconsolable. I couldn't like focus on young Sheldon. I needed to just go to sleep, but I was so afraid to go to sleep because I was just, you know, when you finish a book, you're like in the book, in your head. Book.
Oh my God. What these days, whatever content I'm consuming, it takes up my whole night. Like my, like all of my thoughts and dreams like are just about whatever it is, whether it's sometimes it's a song, sometimes it's a book or a movie. Like it's always just about this thing. It's so annoying.
So are you saying basically last night that you dreamed about 80 for Brady?
No, but last night Zach and I watched, well, Zach watched because I was trying to read my book and he was looking for a movie and he put on 80 for Brady. And always when he puts something on, like I wind up giving an ear.
Of course.
And then I was like, you know what? I'll just watch the movie. Like I can read my book before I go to sleep.
Now, and what inspired Zach to choose that film?
He loves football and he loves like a good corny movie. I think it's something that he always you know, probably saw commercials for and was like, oh, maybe I would see that one day. And our day came yesterday.
Okay.
And the movie was so ridiculous. But the thing that kept getting me through was like, this is inspired by a true story. So it's just about like four senior women who love Tom Brady and love the Patriots. And they're going to go to the Super Bowl in 2017 to finally like see their team play. And I'm like, okay, that is so cute. Like what happens at the Super Bowl that this is a movie that was made about these women. Mm-hmm. So the whole time I'm like really just wanting to know how it ends. The fact that this was a story worth telling. The movie is...
Did you know what the results of the 2017 Super Bowl were?
Yes. I actually remember that Super Bowl because it was so crazy. That was the one where they played the Falcons and they were losing the entire time. Do you remember? It was Lady Gaga's halftime show, but I didn't remember.
That I remember.
I don't remember her being at that particular game, but they were losing the whole time in the fourth quarter, like down by 20-something points. And in the fourth quarter, they made it all back and they won. It was a really crazy Super Bowl. So I was like, what's the story here? And the movie is preposterous. It's like so bad. And they're doing all these crazy, ridiculous things. And at one point, the women sneak into the like control room to talk to Brady in his ear to like give him a pep talk. Yeah.
What? And I'm like, no, I don't believe you.
I'm like, oh, is that the crazy thing that like makes this a movie? So after we finish the movie, I like Google it. And no, none of these things happen. It's just like these four senior women who love Tom Brady, it's just like about them, but the whole movie is like made up. And it's,
how does a shit movie like that get made, but The Nightingale is still in pre-production?
Claudia, I have no idea. And what's even crazier is that Tom Brady, he produced this movie. It was the first movie from his production company. And like, what a weird fucking choice. Cause it's like all him. Like the one of the main characters is like, you know, going through it. And like every time she's struggling, like Tom Brady's like, talks to her.
You're kidding.
No, like she has a Tom Brady bobblehead and like he will say some words like,
no. Wait, is Tom in the movie?
Yes, he makes like cameos. One, they use footage from the game, but then after the game the women get to go back to the locker room. Like it's just ridiculous. And Julian Edelman is in it for a second, Gronk, and Danny Amendola.
Okay, wait, I'm not okay. This is so dumb. And to be honest, like his production company, this being like their first release, like that's like really like egotistical.
No, so egotistical. And I said to Zach, now I know why he won't retire, because he can't do anything else. If like the money in the world, all the resources, like pick a book, any book, turn it into a movie, and you choose this, like what? And you're making up this preposterous story. None of these things happened.
No, and like Jane Fonda should know better.
Oh my God, it was ridiculous. The good
news
is,
who were the other four women, the actors? Did you know any of them?
Rita Moreno.
Love.
Sally Field, my birthday buddy.
Oh, yes. I remember them all doing press together. I think they were on Watch Happens Live or something.
And I think the fourth, what's her name?
Candace Bergen.
No, but she would have been.
No, it's confusing because Jane Fonda also does these other movies called Book Club. There's like a sequel where it's four senior women and it's like the mom from Stepmoms. I think it's Candace Bergen's maybe in that one, Jane Fonda. No,
this is Lily Tomlin.
Oh, yes.
And is she also in that show with Jane Fonda? Grace and Frankie.
Yes, Grace and Frankie.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to just like assume they're all in the same shows, but they are.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like this core group of senior women just out here working. And so while Jane Fonda should have known better, certainly Sally Field should have known better.
It was so, there were so many celebrity cameos that were just like so weird. Also, do you know Guy Fieri's name is like pronounced Guy Fieri?
Yes, I do know that. But
he's a really big part of the movie and they're always like looking for Guy Fieri because like, I don't want to spoil it. But they're like, Mr. Fieri, Mr. Fieri. I'm like, is Fieri?
It's giving like French, but
Fieri. But we know Guy is not French.
He's an all-American man.
Yeah. So it was so insane. I had to see it through till the end and it was shocking.
No, I'm glad you did.
The good news is I slept like a baby, probably because it was so mindless.
So true.
I had nothing on my mind after that.
That's actually the exact type of thing you should be watching before bed, like mindlessness.
It's true. And then I continued to read my book. I posted about this on my Instagram. I'm reading this book. Apparently, it's called Trophy Wife. And the cover is like some thought on a balcony.
Sexy lady.
The book that I am reading, the inside of the book, and now I'm at like 30%, has nothing. First of all, the protagonist is a man, has nothing to do with the cover or the title. Mm-hmm. I think it's mislabeled. But I don't know.
Get yourself a refund, girlfriend.
No, I'm liking the book. I'll wait till like, I get to 100% to see. But like, there's not even a high rise in the book. Like, if they're in London, he just bought like a country house. Why is she on a balcony in West Hollywood?
You have 70%. Like, maybe it will come full circle to the title.
But I'm really enjoying it. But I don't want to recommend Trophy Wife yet because you might not get the same book I'm reading.
Right, there's clearly like a clerical issue over at Amazon.com.
I really, really wonder if there is.
Wait, why don't you just Google it? Trophy Wife book.
Okay, and look at the description.
Yeah, there's a sexy lady on it.
Okay, what does it say the book's about?
Okay. The brilliant new psychological thriller, a wonderful book. His prized possession, his greatest mistake. From the moment I saw Anne, I knew she was perfect for me.
Oh, okay, Anne, fine.
Is that it?
Yeah, even though from the moment he saw her, he did not think, he didn't even look at her. But okay.
I never read a book that the main character is a man.
You probably haven't read very many, but you've read some.
Like what? I've also, like, I don't think I ever read, except The Silent Patient. That was the only book in the last 2 years, 3 years that I've read by a man. I, like, don't fuck with men.
I know. It's really funny how, like, every honestly, book like, I read is a female author.
Books are for the girls, like,
unless like, it's like it. You know, James Patterson,
yeah, I guess
Alex, like they're that whole genre. But the kind of stuff we want to read, like, yeah, it has to be written by women.
Yeah, I'm so not interested in like reading the male perspective.
Yeah, but then I also think that sometimes like women, when they write men, they're so off.
Yeah, but that's the part that's fun about it is that you're writing like from the female perspective, the ideal man. That's why it's like, you know, it's fiction.
Yeah, yeah, it's fiction, but it's so unrealistic. It's like not fun.
Oh, I disagree. It's so unrealistic. It's actually fun.
No, like these men that like Colleen Hoover writes, like
they don't exist.
No, they don't.
But that's why these books are so popular.
So true.
And with, like, the resurgence of reading in the last few years, like, Reese's Book Club and, you know, Book Talk, it's really becoming, like, it's a female thing.
Yeah, I agree. I also think there's now this new energy amongst female readers, whereas, like, male readers are pretty constant. Like, they like their history books by, like, men have been read. Not that women don't read, but I feel like...
So, you literally sound like Ben.
No, I don't. But that... This resurgence of like Reese's Book Club, Book Talk, it's all books for women.
Yeah.
So the surge has been for the girls.
And by the girls.
And by the girls. Yeah, exactly. Like the men have their literary corner established already.
Yeah, yeah. And ours is not a corner. It's like more of like a wing.
In our own little corner.
And I will say the one book that I read by a man, The Silent Patient, I thought was the worst, most overrated book. So
overrated.
I don't know what that says about man writers.
Yeah, no, the few books that I have read by men have been really good, but that's because they're like the cream of the cream.
Of course.
From the men.
You're reading the good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be like if boys only read like The Nightingale, Luckiest Girl Alive.
So I feel like we've been talking about books for about 20 minutes and it's the first Thursday in August.
That was my next segue. New episode of The Redheads just dropped. You guys, this month's book was so good. Spoiler alert, all four of us really liked it. Some more than others, but there was not a dissenter in the group. So if you're looking for a book to read, I would really recommend I Could Live Here Forever by Hannah Halperin. Some of the redheads were crying upon reading the book. Like, it's a book about love and heartbreak and addiction, and it just hit everyone differently. But it was so good. The episode was great, and it was our last episode before my one-month maternity leave.
Which we also need to discuss today on the episode.
We'll discuss my toast maternity leave, but Redheads will be back first Thursday of October with a Snitch's.
So you're only skipping 1 month.
Only skipping 1 month. Snitch's Choice is coming up, and we are reading The Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros because that book is everywhere, and it's getting like just such positive reviews in a different way than like other books get. It seems like there's a lot there. So I'm so excited to read that. I think all of us are bummed we have to wait 2 months to read it, but I'm really excited that it's going to be a Redheads book.
Well, you deserve the month off from, you know, putting the literary community on your back.
Thank you.
But having said that, we need to discuss your maternity leave. You know, it's all been very up in the air, but we're down to the wire now.
We're down to the wire, and my maternity leave starts after tomorrow's show. So tomorrow is the last episode of The Toast before maternity leave.
And so that means that we will have 4 weeks of no toast. So August 4th is our last episode, and we return September 5th, right after Labor Day. We know it'll be tough for you guys, but you know what?
Hopefully you're
There's
in love.
There's nothing we can do about it.
And you weren't listening anyway.
And if you're not in love, maybe use those 4 weeks to find love.
Yeah, and I'm excited for when we come back. It's going to be really awesome. I'm excited for the time off, excited for all the changes in the next month.
No, you take all the time off you need. When we return September 5th, Jackie will come as much as she wants to
flex,
or can.
Flex schedule.
It'll be a hybrid. We have Ben, Taylor, Snitch, a bunch of new co-hosts that I've been talking to who love The Toast. So it'll be just like, I feel like everybody loved maternity leave last time. We have nothing to be afraid of. This isn't our first rodeo. You know, last time we were like a little nervous. We never did it before. Now we've done it. It was a great time. Jax came and just blew everyone away like once a week. And then the other episodes were like fun guests. I might do some solo episodes. Patreon will still be active for this month. So if you're going to suffer August without your regular Toast episodes, I recommend signing up for Patreon, patreon.com/thetoast. You'll get 5 episodes for the month of August that we will release during the maternity leave. We have pre-recorded some Jackie stuff. I will be doing vlogs and Patreon and podcast episodes. So we'll take care of you. Don't worry. Like, just everyone stay calm, you know?
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. Patreon's always there for you. And if you're not a patron already and you sign up today, you will have enough episodes to get you through till the end of the year. So those people who haven't listened to all the Patreon episodes yet, like, really, it's all waiting for you. And for everyone else, you'll at least be covered more than once a week with podcasts and vlogs that we have forthcoming.
Now, I just think I speak for everyone when I say, like, thank you for going this far with us. I could never be me. You're setting an incredibly bad precedent for when I'm pregnant. Because, like, bitch, when I hit 6 months, I'm out. Like, goodbye. Don't talk to me. So you're setting unrealistic expectations for women again. But we so appreciate all the work that you've done. This has, I know, been a treacherous few months for you. And you gave your all to The Toast. And we really, really appreciate it. The community appreciates you.
Thank you. And we appreciate you for holding it down in those days when I couldn't give it. So it's been
a journey,
a really crazy journey. And thank you to all the Toasters for just coming along with us. Listen to every episode. And we see all the numbers and everyone's just stuck by us through all the changes.
It's true.
And
it's true.
The video list episodes, whatever it is. So I'm excited to
everyone's just been like shucking and jiving with us. Like, whatever we say is going down. They're like, okay, I'll be there.
Yeah. So it's been great. And I'm so glad that we've come this far. I'm excited to start my time off.
God is good. Baruch Hashem.
God is good. Yeah. And also when I come back, this maternity leave, like when I come back, will be a little different because the studio in my house, I can probably do more than I could last time having to go to the studio.
It's so true.
So we shall see.
Not to make everything about me, but I have started once again. I feel like everyone's tired. I'm the girl who cried apartment. I am looking to move. And everyone knows I live in a bunker with no light. And I'm like on this journey to seeing the snow by Christmas. And yesterday we officially started our journey looking for apartments. Everything we saw yesterday was unbelievably trashy and overpriced. Today I'm seeing an apartment. Like, you know when you have a feeling like it might be the one?
Yeah.
The one I'm seeing today, like, might be the one. And what's so exciting about it is that it has, like, this, like, this is unheard of in New York. It has a pantry. It's, like, literally, like, a big-ass walk-in closet that's, like, for food. It's right off the kitchen. But it has no shelves or anything in it. It's just, like, a blank white room. And I could literally make my own studio at home. So, like, you know, if I'm sick or, you know, Ben is always recording Good Guys at, like, the middle of the night. Like, I could have my own little, like, home office and I would be just like you, like with my own little, except I wouldn't have flamingos, I would just have the leaves. I think, like, I'm really excited about it. I need this apartment to work, and it's like actually decently priced.
When do you see it?
Which makes what a 145 today, which just makes me think like it's decently priced. Like, all the photos are fake. I'm so sick of everyone doing that. Like, everything is fucking fake online. Street Easy, like, they rendered these photos. Like, I understand rendering a photo of an apartment, like putting a couch and a bed in there. These real estate agents are getting crafty with their renderings. Like, they'll render the window. So if the window, which a lot of apartments in New York do, looks at a brick wall, nobody wants that, they'll put a fake city skyline in, and it's only until you literally walk in the door that you see this apartment has no light because it stares at another building. Like, they are doing the crazy, they're changing the floors. They're like, oh, look at these dark mahogany wood floors. You get in, these are old ass parquet floors. Like, they're lying to you. It should be illegal. Like, where is the legislation?
I don't know, sis.
It's so annoying.
Well, I hope that it's everything you want it to be. The pictures didn't look that fake, so.
No, they didn't. So, like, everyone just pray for me. Like, if this apartment works, I will not only see the snow by Christmas, but I will have, like, a home studio.
Mini studio. It wouldn't be, like, the new Toast HQ.
No.
Because we couldn't both fit.
No.
But it's, like, for you to work from home.
Home.
When you need to. No,
I'm so excited about it.
I'm pumped for you.
Yeah, it's like kind of a big day for me. So everyone just like send me positive real estate energy.
Will do. Sending you positive real estate energy.
Thank you.
So with that, I do feel all caught up on the happenings of you and I in the last 24 hours.
Me as well.
And now we need to talk about the happenings of the world.
Others.
Of others in the last 24 hours. So without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know.
Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events should not be stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guaranteed, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you're going to have. I love having the Game Time app on my phone at all times. I live in New York, a fabulous city with fabulous events going on at all times. I also travel a lot, so it's always just a good thing to have on my app. If I'm in a new city and I have nothing to do that night, I pull up the Game Time app. I know I'm going to get a great deal, and it's really helpful in finding cool, fun things to do, whether that's sports, music, comedy, athletes, you know, sports. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. No longer having to plan months in advance, Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. If you're scouring for Eras tickets this weekend, I checked Game Time before my New York shows and I found it really helpful. They had great deals. It's the fastest growing ticket app in the country for a reason. You're getting images of your seats before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds. It's literally two taps and you're all set. And tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TOAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code TOAST for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute ticket deals, lowest price, and of course, it's guaranteed. Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by Branch Basics. It's non-toxic. It's hypoallergenic. It's free from fragrance, hormone disruptors, and harmful preservatives. It's Branch Basic, our favorite baby and pet safe cleaning supplies. So their premium starter kit will provide you with everything you need to replace all of your toxic cleaning products in your home. It's really a no-brainer. There are so many reasons to love Branch Basics. Of course, being baby and pet safe, being non-toxic. I personally love it because it's not a million products. They use their concentrate that you can use for all different types of surfaces. I live in an apartment in New York City with not a ton of storage galore, and I find that Branch Basics products work really well, and they don't take up a lot of space in my cabinets. Also, if you suffer from eczema, allergies, or asthma, make the switch to Branch Basics, and you will notice a visible difference. Their refill model is fabulous as well, because once you run out, the only thing you need to repurchase is that concentrate and the oxygen boost, and then you have all of your products. Like, it's really such a genius model. And of course, you know, Jackie got into clean girl era when she became pregnant. There's really no downside to having non-toxic cleaning products in your home. It's so much better for your babies, for your pets, and Brunch Basics, best of all, is clean and cost effective. So if you're looking to save 15% off and get free shipping on your starter kit, use code TOAST at BrunchBasics.com. That's code TOAST, T-O-A-S-T. You'll get 15% off plus free shipping when you purchase that starter kit. The starter kit has everything you can need. You'll be so happy that you switch. It's easy, it's cost effective, it's baby and pet safe, and of course, it's non-toxic.
Great. Thank you, Claudia. Our first story, Lizzo is speaking out. She's hitting back at the outrageous, unbelievable sexual harassment lawsuit. So Lizzo posted a multi-slide notes to her Instagram talking about the bombshell lawsuit that three of her former backup dancers filed against her on Tuesday that has been the talk of the town all
truly
week. The talk of the ton. She said, quote, these last few days have been gut-wrenchingly difficult and overwhelmingly disappointing. My work ethic, morals, and respectfulness have been questioned. My character has been criticized. Usually I choose not to respond to false allegations, but these are as unbelievable as they sound and too outrageous to not be addressed. She said these sensationalized claims came from former employees who already publicly admitted that their behavior while touring with her had been inappropriate and unprofessional. She explained that with her passion comes hard work and high standards, admitting that she has had to make hard decisions. It's never my intention to make anyone feel uncomfortable or like they aren't valued as an important part of my team. But overall, she's categorically denying these allegations, saying she's not trying to appear as a victim, but implored her fans and followers to know that she is not the villain that she has been portrayed as in the recent days.
So this response kind of gave nothing. She didn't really address the biggest claim, which was, you know, the vagina, apple, banana, excuse me.
She
said, like, you know, I've been open with my sexuality, but like, okay, and that has nothing to do with this.
Yeah. I mean, I do think she's limited in what she can say. And even her saying something and just the overall message is like, I did not do this shit. This is not who I am. That's the takeaway. Yeah. She's denying. Not that she would do anything other than that if she was going to put out a statement, not be like, yeah, sorry about that.
It was a notes app screenshot, which I found shocking, just given the gravity of the situation.
What would you have expected? A video?
I don't know. There are many different forms, or just like to release a statement like on a Word doc or something. Like the notes app, just it does in this culture like diminish. It's like kind of at this point like a trope.
Yeah, but a Word doc?
You know what I mean? Like, people make statements that just, like, look different.
They put in Canva, you mean? Would you
like a PDF?
A Canva quote card?
I wouldn't like to see anything. I just think it's interesting to note and worth noting that it was a Notes app screenshot.
Got it. But that's where you go to write your thoughts and feelings. Like, when I have something that I'm thinking, I go to my Notes app.
No, I totally get it. I'm mentioning it.
What are her other options, for real?
I mean, celebrities release statements all the time on social media, and they take many different forms. Colors, you know, layouts, formats.
But don't you think, like, then if it was a color, we would be like, this
She's
look.
Not taking it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think a lot of times people kind of shy away from doing, like, a classic Notes app apology because it's become kind of, it's a classic, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a joke.
It's cliche for a reason.
So true.
Yeah. So true. I think whatever medium she used.
I think people maybe expected something slightly more official.
Okay. But yes.
You don't have to keep arguing with me about this. You don't.
No, yes and no, because her brand is so her, and especially her social media. Like, if she had put out something that really looked like it was written by PR people, I think that would ring false.
I mean, it's such a serious thing. It's like an actual, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, it looked like a legal notice. Like, it is a serious legal matter.
Yeah. It is. Well, what do you think?
I mean, she didn't say anything, so...
She said, it's I not didn't like do there was this a shit. She said, right, I didn't do not, it.
Which I would have expected her to say. Like, what is she going to say? No, I did that shit. Let me pay up this lawsuit. Like, it's in her best interest financially and, you know, publicly to deny it at this current junction. She didn't say anything. She basically... I don't know, for me, like, of course, like, the kind of grotesque allegations are of interest, but what I find even more interesting is, like, the people coming out of the woodwork who have, you know, very closely worked with her, and there's proof of that, just saying she's a horrible person.
Yeah, for me, the most interesting thing, I mean, of course, there's always going to be a pile-on. There's always going to be people that don't like you. That the fact that no one is coming forward to say the opposite, whether it's people that's worked with her or, like, fellow stars.
Celebs.
You know, she's one of the most popular in the industry people. Like, she's always, like, collabing and has so many friends, it seems. And that no one has come forward to be like, this is not the Lizzo that I know.
Wait, and also you saw Tina Knowles commented on an Instagram that was, like, talking about Beyonce. And she was basically like, oh, my God, you guys look for something and everything. She also didn't say Kelly Rowland's name or her sister's name. So she basically put that to bed.
I don't know.
It's suspicious for sure.
I don't know if she did.
Ooh, you think she's out of bed?
I think maybe Beyonce took out other people's names so that...
To lessen.
Yeah, to lessen. It's not just like, I'm taking out Lizzo, but I want to take out Lizzo, so let me take out the two people who I'm closest to so they won't be offended.
Solange and Kelly, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point.
I think that's what it is.
So you think there's there?
I think there's there, but she has plausible deniability by taking out more than Lizzo.
She does. That's so true. Now you'd be a lawyer.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what's most shocking to me, that there's not, like, two camps being like, no, Lizzo is a great person and she would never do these things, and then the other people who are disgruntled.
That's actually a really good point. I guess we can wait and see if, like, anybody does come forward, but I don't think anybody wants to throw themselves in the middle of this, like, messy-ass thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, for anyone who's
worked with her... Oh, and by the way...
For anyone who's worked with her who has positive experiences, like, they really have nothing to lose...
Yeah, by the way, though, I could see, like, if other celebrities came forward and were like, Lizzo's fabulous, that's, like, the exact thing she's being accused of. Like, of course she would be nice to Harry Styles, but not people who she considers beneath her. That's, like, the difference. It's all people who work for her.
Got it. Yeah, so, and especially because
it wouldn't be helpful. It would actually fuel the fire.
We're not getting any former or current employees coming forward being like, no, Lizzo was the best boss I ever had.
Yeah.
She champions women.
Right,
there's
right.
None of that.
Unrelated, Theo's like actually 10 feet from me. 10 feet. He's on the floor, like all the way over there. I'm about to vomit from the smell of this fart. Like, that's power. He's a powerful person.
He's a powerful man.
Oh my God. And he like keeps going. It smells horrible.
Is he sick?
It's giving sick energy.
Did he eat something funny?
It's lingering and strengthening.
Ooh.
That's the worst kind.
Powerful.
L&D.
Are you ready for our next story?
I am. Have we said everything we need to say about Lizzo?
Yeah. I'm waiting and see. Like, you know, this has to play out in the court of law. Obviously, these allegations are extremely incongruous to who she has said that she is, but she's maintaining that she is who she is.
Right.
And I will wait and see.
Yeah.
But it's shocking stuff. But it's shocking stuff. And I'm shocked.
The one thing she did kind of address is that she's, like, difficult to work with, and her rebuttal to that is like, I'm extremely passionate about my art. Like, yeah, I'm hardcore. I work hard. That's maybe not for everyone. That was like the only kind of direct allegation that she addressed.
Yeah. That's not what's bothering me, that she might be like a tough boss.
No, like I can see that there's an argument to be made for, like, you know, there's a lot at stake. It's a high stress environment. Sure. There's an argument there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what comes out. But our next story, another thread from the week, Taylor Swift. So California politicians are urging Taylor Swift to postpone her LA concerts over the hotel strike days after attending her show, actually. So these California politicians pleaded with Taylor to postpone the last leg of her sold-out Eras tour in solidarity with striking hotel employees in LA, including the state's lieutenant governor, who actually just went to her show at Levi's Stadium. Yeah.
Okay, not only that, but, like, so the politicians want Taylor to fix the strike, not the politicians?
No, it's so crazy.
Twisted.
So the union, it represents over 32,000 hospitality workers in Southern California and Arizona, and they are striking for higher wages because, like, the cost of living has gone up and they need higher wages. And it's like, Taylor canceling her show is going to save the cost of living crisis. And also,
actually,
her fans who paid for the hotels are not going to get their money back. They're going to be stuck in LA. She's canceling her shows because of a problem you caused and you can't solve.
I think it's like it's 500,000 people who are currently have tickets to see Taylor. So putting all those people in a bad financial situation could cause a mini recession. Like, this is a terrible idea. And this is just the whole thing that's so fucked with celebrity culture. Like, anytime there's like a, you know, a national crisis or like an issue politically, it's always like, Taylor Swift, do something. She's a singer. Like, what can she fucking do?
No, like, the 53 officials signed the letter to Taylor asking her to postpone her show.
These literally, why don't you go be helpful? Why don't you negotiate the hotel strike? Like, why don't you go actually do something? And you know what? The pressure on hotels right now from all the people who are going to flock to LA starting literally today, they want to have the most staff. Like, they want to... They don't want to cancel reservations because they don't have enough, you know, concierges or hotel bellhops. Like, if anything, like, this big event is probably putting pressure on them. They're going to lose money if they can't fulfill the demand. So actually, Taylor's probably helping move the strike forward.
Yeah, no, but the overall problem that they are striking against, which is cost of living, is...
A political issue.
A political issue, not a Taylor issue.
Yeah, literally, this makes no fucking sense. It's so moronic. Like, the fact that 53 politicians took time out of their day to write a petition and sign it. And, like, you know how slow everything in government is. Like, this is probably, like, a weeks-long affair. You know what they could have done for the cost of living crisis in a week?
Yeah.
They actually worked on it?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, I don't think she's going to postpone her shows.
No! And literally, it would be so dumb. Like, give the hotel workers what they want. Like, nobody on the planet works harder, has to deal with more shit from people than hotel workers. And it's these huge conglomerates like Marriott. And just give them what they fucking want and leave Taylor alone.
The hotels would have to be giving the hotel workers what they want. Like, the politicians aren't in control of their wages.
No.
The politicians should work on affordable living in their cities.
Well, they should work on, yes, of course, like, the economy. They should also work on, like, working with these huge hotel groups like Starwood. I forget all the names, but they're all these huge conglomerates. Like, working with them, helping the strike move forward instead of, like, literally working on this nonsense.
Yeah, this is...
So dumb. Like,
preposterous. It's honestly, like, it's embarrassing to think about. Like, these are people who are in, like, control and power, and they, like, make the city go round. And this is their best solution.
You took the words right out of my mouth. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And look, I saw this on TikTok a few weeks ago. I'm like, oh my God, this is so dumb. But like, now it's an actual thing, because at first it was just like people on social media being like, Taylor, do something. And now it's like actual politicians. I'm humiliated for this country.
Yeah, humiliated. She's doing 8 shows at LA?
I don't know. She's doing a fucking shit ton.
That's crazy. Are you feeling FOMO?
No, I mean, I did have tickets that I did give up because I wanted to be here with you.
Oh, that's true.
I do. I feel good about it. Like, I've seen it 3 times. Let someone else go, you know? And actually, she just posted on Instagram while we were recording new U.S. dates. I can read them to you, which is exciting for you, because in October, she'll be in Miami for 3 nights.
So we'll go.
Then she has 3 nights in New Orleans.
This October? 3 nights.
Yep. Oh, no. Sorry. This is 2024.
Great. Even better.
Then she has 3 nights in Indianapolis, Indiana, and then 6 nights in Toronto. So we can go to Toronto, too.
But you'll come to Miami.
Oh, 100%. Margot just put it in the family chat and was like, see you bitches in Miami. No, this isn't an option, Olivia.
Oh, my God. When the snitch is lit.
No, when the snitch is lit. Activated. Like, there's no coming between her.
Yeah.
Today's episode of The Toast is also brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You know, it's no secret that Jackie and I love to invest, whether it's in purses, clothing, or shoes. Jackie more specifically, but me too. You know, I get involved here and there. And we are always making sure to shop smart with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay authenticators are there, verifying every detail of your purchase. eBay Authenticity Guarantee protects buyers from fakes, gives them the assurance that they're getting the real deal. When you're spending a lot of time investing online, you know, there's so many people out there who might not have the best of intentions. And eBay is out here looking out for your girls, because what is worse than spending time and money scouring the internet for your next purchase, only to later find out that you were scammed? With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you'll never get faked over again. The service currently covers eligible items across sneakers, watches, handbags, jewelry, and streetwear. Personally, we feel more confident in ordering online because we know that an expert at eBay is authenticating our items. So any purchase that is backed by the Authenticity Guarantee is sent to the authentication team, who personally inspect it, They check it against the listing and they authenticate it. So, as any good Real Housewife would say, in a world full of fakes, it's time to get real with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You know, if you're spending time, money, energy, all these things on finding something that you love, make sure you're taking the proper steps to protect it. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Everyone deserves real. Visit ebay.com for terms. Today's episode is also brought to you by Legacy Box. Legacy Box is hands down the brand that we get the most questions about. I feel like you guys know about it, and then you find yourself at a place in your life where you need it and you can't remember our code. So listen up, girls. Do you know where your box of old home movies is? Have you checked that box in a while to make sure they're not too damp or hot or even molding? All of our old media can break down over time, and if it's not preserved, it will be lost forever. So I'm sure you're thinking, like, it's fine, it's in my cellar, it's in my attic, I'll take care of it. Well, the more time you leave, the more risk you run of having your old memories be destroyed. We grew up, Jackie and I, in the VHS era. We had a huge basement storage filled of VHSs, and we tried so many things to try and get them to play on, like, our DVD player. It was so treacherous, and then Legacy Box came and changed our lives. So it is easy. You basically load the Legacy Box with all of your old tapes, films, pictures, and then you send it back. You'll get it back on a thumb drive or the cloud. It'll be ready to watch and super easy to share. It's so simple. It's basically like magic. So send it in, fill it up with whatever you got. They do it all. VHS, camcorder, pictures, whatever you need converted, they will handle it. Their team does it in the USA, so you'll get it back on a thumb drive or the cloud. What I love about Legacy Box is that they keep you updated along the way. It's very scary to send something so meaningful in the mail and not know where it is. They're sending you updates via email throughout the entire process, so you can feel really calm, cool, and collected about the whole thing. So don't let the summer heat age your videotapes, your film reels, and fade your photos. Visit legacybox.com/toast to shop their $9 tape sale. That's legacybox.com/toast to unlock this incredible offer.
Are you ready for our next story? It's a little more strike news, different strike.
Okay.
So SAG-AFTRA has released the names of celebrities who have donated over $1 million to the campaign for struggling actors.
I saw this was incredible, and it harks on something we spoke about earlier in the week.
Yes. So SAG-AFTRA has put forth a list of all the celebrities who have donated over $1 million, and here they are. George and Amal Clooney, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Meryl Streep, then also Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck, Oprah Winfrey, Julia Roberts, Matt and Luciana Damon, Leonardo DiCaprio, Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Furness, his wife, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, Nicole Kidman and Arnold Schwarzenegger have also donated to the huge sum.
Yeah, so we were talking about earlier, like, there's been, like, weird public pressure on celebrities who haven't been seen out picketing, and there are more than one way, there is more than one way to support the strike. And I actually think this is huge. You know, SAG has like a nonprofit, like a fund that helps. When we think of actors, like, we think of the people on that list, but there's like 100,000 people in the union who are unknown, who don't make a lot of money, who actually don't even qualify for health insurance. So this fund, so how many people were on that list? At least 10, they said over a million. So let's say minimum, there's $10 million now that can be given to people to pay their rent.
Yeah, so how does it work? I mean, I'm sure neither you nor I know, but, like, do then they divide that by the number of members in SAG and they give a little bit to everyone?
I feel like you apply and they, like, go through the applications. I honestly don't know.
Got it. Well,
I'm sure it's based on, like, whose situation is most dire.
Yeah.
But they seem organized over at SAG. Like, they got a system for it. And that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge. And
because these are working actors who don't make a lot of money and who for the foreseeable future can't make any.
Right, right.
I've also been, I saw TikTok yesterday, Greer Grammer. She's not like the perfect person to have done it because she is technically a Nepo baby, but she did like an unboxing. She's like, I just got my residuals in from SAG. They sent me a check for, like, she was on Awkward. She's been in a bunch of movies. And here are the residuals I got. And she's like a decently well-known actress and toaster, actually. Hey, Greer. And she was reading her, most of the residuals that came in, they were like checks from Awkward. It was literally like 11 cents. I think the most one was like $1.60.
So then the actors are striking for residuals on streaming platforms.
Yeah.
But the residuals aren't great if you're not on Friends.
No, they're negotiating like a better deal.
Is Awkward on a streaming platform?
I'm sure it's on Paramount Plus.
No, but right now they get no residuals from streaming.
Maybe that residual is from cable.
Right. So they get no residuals from streaming, but they want to negotiate for residuals. But we see that actually residuals are not what we think they are.
No, but they could be a lot better. I think most people are watching those, binging those shows on streamers. Like, that's for, like, a rerun.
Yeah.
On cable, which nobody watches.
But cable's, cable's the one that actually has a profitable residual system.
I do believe that they're also negotiating for, like, a better split on all residuals.
Got it.
Because okay. It's, like, still this model from, like, the 1900s.
Well, maybe, if your theory is correct, by the time we're back from maternity leave, it'll be September. Mm-hmm. And you said that's when the strike will end. So maybe...
That's just what people in the industry, I know. That's just, like, what they said.
That's what the insiders are saying, or TikTok?
Insiders. Like, people whom I know in my personal life. Like, not anything on social media. But, again, like, as always, take everything I say with half a grain of salt.
And are the insiders that you know on the SAG side or on the business side?
Business. Mm. Kind of. I don't want to say too much, you know, about my sources. It was literally just, like, one person who, like, works in the industry. Like, I need to calm down.
No. You have really
He made a fire point.
Sources in high places, Claude.
Unbelievable.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Little exciting doll news. Kylie Jenner launches her own Bratz doll. Kylie has teamed up with the toy company Bratz to release their first ever celebrity doll collaboration. On Tuesday, the brand launched 6 mini Kylie dolls. It's called the Mini Bratz x Kylie Collectibles that recreate some of Kylie's most iconic fashion looks, including 2 of her Met Gala outfits. Then Kylie shared a cute clip of her daughter Stormy wearing a tulle dress and playing with the dolls on her Instagram story. She said, had to get Storm all of the minis at Bratz.
I feel like this is, like, Kylie taking her power back. I feel like people used to, like, say as an insult, she looks like a Bratz doll.
Yeah. That will just, like, never be an insult to me.
Bratz dolls are quite literally snatched to the gods, and I would love to look like one.
Literally goals.
Yeah, they're all gorgeous.
Yeah, they're so cute. They're so stylish. They're so pretty. They say that about Ari, too.
Do they?
Yeah. I mean, she does look like a Bratz doll just because she's so tiny.
Tiny.
Also, the way that Ari is, like, going through...
I know, like, her own cancellation.
...scandal right now. And also, all this, like, old stuff is coming back up, like the donuts video.
Yeah, I know. I've been seeing that all over
everyone
social media.
Had...
forgotten.
Repressed.
That was, like, an incredibly weird thing that she did. Like, if you don't know the video, just Google it. She, like, went into, like, a mom-and-pop donut shop. And when the person behind the counter went, like, back to the kitchen, she started licking all the donuts on display.
Yeah. No, and
then talking about how much she hates America.
Yeah, because it's like a big fat thing that Americans do is have donuts
and you know
like
what?
This.
It's delicious. And she's literally supporting that institution, so it makes no sense.
Yeah, no, she was being...
like a reckless teen. I think we all chalked it up. And it was. Like, people are entitled to, like, their bad moments. Like, it was a terrible thing, but, like, what should we do to kill her? Like, it was just dumb teenage antics, rebellion phase.
She wasn't a teenager, but... Yeah, we had moved on, but now everything is coming back. Yeah, she's going through it. It's not her moment.
And, like, her relationship timelines with Big Sean and Pete Davidson. Mm-hmm. So she's clearly, like, a girly who just, like, overlaps.
Yeah. But...
Ethan, what's his name? Slater.
Is that his last name?
Yeah.
Back to Kylie. I think this is so cute. The dolls are so cute. I have no use for them, but if I did,
I would
get them.
That was my question. Like, who is this for? Because Bratz dolls, like, are for kids.
Yeah.
Kylie's fans are, like, grown-ass women. Maybe it's just, like, a collectible thing.
Or it's for just girls like Kylie. Also, you could say the exact same thing about the Barbie movie.
Yeah, but then once you see it, like, you realize it's for adults.
Yeah. Okay, so the dolls are for kids?
That's my question. I don't know.
If I had a daughter, I would get these.
Yeah, it's cute.
It's so cute. I saw someone message me or I saw a tweet that was like, the Bratz movie walked so Barbie could run.
The Bratz movie, I'm so glad you brought that up, was a transformative piece of cinema. And the Bratz movie is so good. You want to know how I know the Bratz movie is so good? Do you know what film we were all watching?
Of course,
when we found out that our
everyone knows. The toasters know.
Oh, okay. Should I finish the story or no?
You can, but when we told the original story, honestly, it's worth. I remember the episode. We were in LA.
That was a long time ago.
LA week. Snitch was there. Mm-hmm. I think it was like the Thursday or Friday episode, and it was because we were doing ads for Attitude.
We got that attitude.
Oh, that's funny.
That was a really long time ago, so you can go watch it, but just brief cliff notes. When we were all, like, in middle and high school, we found out that our dad passed away. We were literally sitting on the couch watching the Bratz movie, and our mom came in and was like, pause the TV, girlies, I got some news. And the movie was so good. Like, that is something that would, like, ruin a film, you know, finding out your parent died. But I love that movie still. Like, it's not even destroyed. Like, that's how good the movie is. It transcends death and grief.
Yeah. Kind of like The Toast.
I was just, that's the thread.
Yeah. No, the movie is so good. I would watch it today. It's a masterpiece. I don't think it got the recognition that it deserved. And we're
always quoting it. Like, don't get your bragas in a twist. I feel like now I'm having deja vu, like, of the repetition. But what's so great about the movie is that, like, the main Bratz character, her mom is that queen. I believe it's the actress. I forget her name. She plays the mother in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. She's right. A timeless queen.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a star-studded movie.
It's layered as well.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
And it's very inclusive. There's a deaf main character. It's amazing.
Yeah. Really amazing. And I'm glad that Kylie's partnered with them to give them the visibility they deserve.
Yeah, maybe, like, this partnership, rising tides raise all ships. Like, maybe now more people will be invested in Bratz culture and watch, you know, the Bratz live action movie. And more people will see that stunning work of art.
Yeah. It's all good.
A girl can dream. Oh, mm-hmm. My God, Theo farted again. He's definitely sick.
Get well soon, Refuah Shleima.
Refuah Shleima, my love.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
It's some exciting Broadway news because The Notebook, the musical, will be opening on Broadway in spring 2024. The musical adaptation of Nicholas Sparks' The Notebook is officially heading to Broadway. Performances will begin in February 2024 with the show's opening night set for March 14th. The cast has yet to be announced, but The Notebook features music and lyrics by Broadway alum Ingrid Michaelson and a bunch of other Broadway heavy hitters working on it as well. The Notebook musical was originally announced in 2019 and ran at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater in the fall of 2022. So it's been done. And then I was scrolling through the article and there's already a song that's on YouTube by Ingrid Michaelson called If This Is Love. And it's a Notebook musical song.
Okay, I mean, I have to see it before I can judge. It does sound like a little crazy. Like, it's very camp. I just feel like we got the musical version of The Notebook, and it was Miley Cyrus's Nicholas Sparks, you know?
So
what was that movie called?
The Last Song.
When the waves are flooding the shore and I can't find my way home anymore. That was, like, literally Miley's best song ever. She needs to cover that again. I feel like she's always going back and doing, like, Seven Things and The Climb. Like, give us that.
No, I agree. I'm always singing that song, weirdly.
It's, like, so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And I do agree, if there was going to be a Nicholas Sparks Broadway show, like, why not the last song that already has original music?
Right. Like, give us Miley now.
I think that this could be good.
It's, like, so underrated Miley was in a Nicholas Sparks film, you know?
No, it's under, not even that, that's where she met Liam Hemsworth. They fell in love. They got married. They got broken up. They got together again.
The Nicholas Sparks Miley Cyrus film is almost a perfect film.
Why is it imperfect?
You know why, Jackie.
I don't know that
there's
I do.
There's one scene that's, like, butt-clenchingly cringe.
What scene?
They're in the truck, like, driving around wherever the hell they are.
Did this go viral?
I don't think so.
Oh.
We, like, always, like, as kids, were just, like, cringe.
Why? What were they doing?
She starts singing She Will Be Loved, and, like, she literally sounds terrible.
Yeah, agreed.
She's, like, looking out the window, and she starts singing to the radio, and he's like, wow, like, your voice is really good. And, like, that's just, like, a cringy trope, but, like, her voice actually sounded, like, terrible.
And she actually has a good voice.
Right, like, there was no reason why they couldn't have just done another take or, like, put the song in her key.
The last time I watched the last song was a few years ago. I sobbed my eyes out.
Yeah, it's got it all. It's got love. It's got tragedy. It's got, you know, classism.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was emotional for me.
No, it's an amazing movie.
It is. So maybe if The Notebook on Broadway does well, they would consider The Last Song on Broadway.
I don't know why I keep forgetting the name of the movie. I keep thinking When I Look at You is the name of the movie, but that's the name of the song Miley wrote.
Yeah, the last song.
The last song. Why did Nicholas Sparks like stop filmmaking? Like, I feel like there was Dear John, The Notebook, When I Look at, what's it called? The Last Song. There was like a couple of years where it was like peak entertainment, and then it just kind of died off.
Well, I feel like
Letters to Juliet.
That genre has sort of,
yeah,
not a place to go anymore. You know, it's like
Colleen Hoover is the new Nicholas Sparks,
writing wise. Yeah, but let's see, yeah, how her movies do. So far, it's not, yeah, looking good.
It's so true.
I don't. I'm sure there's like an actual reason why Nicholas Sparks it hasn't made a lot of movies since. But
do you think it was his scandal?
No, I don't.
He had a very short-lived scandal about like a school he created.
Yeah, and like anti-Semitism.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta look into that.
I know, I've tried, I can't wrap my head around it.
It was such a bizarre story with like no context.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it impacted his career because it was like such a weird story.
But maybe he's also just writing less. Like maybe he's enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Retirement. Yeah, perhaps.
But his movies, like if he made movies now, what, they would go to Netflix, we'd all watch them in one day and we'd,
right,
like it just, they don't have.
He movies. Was definitely ahead of his time.
Yeah. He gave us everything he could.
It's true. And you know what? He gave us quite a lot, including
when the waves are flooding the shore. Wasn't there, weren't there more songs from that EP?
I don't think so. I thought it was just a single that she released for the film.
No. Let me just go to this album really quickly.
Yeah, I'm going on Spotify.
Oh, it's an EP, and that song is on it, but the rest of the songs are not from the movie.
Got it.
But it's a great EP.
Still, it slaps.
Slaps.
Slappio.
So those are the stories that you needed to know.
Ooh, she's a rhymer. So yeah, that's our episode. Tomorrow's episode reminder is our final episode before Jax heads off to maternity leave. So send her your well wishes. I wish you well. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday. So if you're watching this on YouTube, every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places where this and podcast find us. The Toast leave a five star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing day, you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow for Friday.
Love ya. Bye.